your lips. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the assurance this child can face uncertain days because Christ lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 28. At this time, our young people are going to be dismissed back to junior church. They've got a special program back there for you. Matthew chapter number 28 this morning. Very familiar passage of scripture during this time of year. A passage that I had Brother Mark read earlier. But let's read it again. Matthew 28 beginning in verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified." Would you everybody say that next phrase with me? It says here in verse number 6, say it with me, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Boy, isn't that a great passage? You know, we stop and look at the world around us and all the chaos and the craziness that's going on. You know, some people are watching the stock market every day, and they see it get to new highs, and all of a sudden it loses 400 or 500 points, and they go into panic mode. And they think, you know, that our hope is built upon the financial situations of our country and this world. May I just let you know that our hope is not built on Wall Street? Amen? Some watch the news every day and they hear about what's going on over in Korea, and some people are just frightened to death about Korea and what's happening there, and they're afraid that what might happen is nuclear war. God's got a plan. And God's plan will be fulfilled in our lives regardless of what Korea does or what Russia does or what the United States does, because God's got a plan. And God's will be fulfilled. Amen?
Amen.
Some people, they're worried about their right to bear arms. They're worried about the legalization of marriage for homosexuals. They're worried about everything. Some people are upset, and rightfully so, over a news story that broke just the other day. There's a church out in, and I probably wouldn't call it a church, there's a gathering they call a church out in Denver that is endorsing people coming to church and smoking marijuana during the service because they want everybody to be pain-free, he said. And I'm thinking to myself, number one, that's not a church. Amen? And I think about all these things and I consider these things, as many people do, and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is this world coming to? But then I go back to one situation, why we are here today. We've got an empty tomb. And because He lives, Jesus said, we shall live also. We are here this morning, not together to try to figure out how to solve all the problems. Listen, the problems of this world were solved 2,000 years ago when the stone was rolled back and our Savior was risen from the dead. Amen?
Amen?
That's what solved the problems of the world. We are here this morning because the tomb is empty and Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now the world looks at us today and they say, that's just all foolishness. Life goes on. We still got to deal with the struggles of life. And they dismiss the whole fact that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, overcame sin, our sin, and death and the grave. This morning, I'd like to have you consider the empty tomb. And why you should consider the empty tomb that's been empty for 2,000 years. More than anything else that you are considering this morning, there are some of you that are going through struggles in your life. Some of you are dealing with financial hardships, and some are dealing with medical issues. Some are dealing with marital issues. Issues with young people. And that's what your focal point is. That's what you want to focus on. May I suggest to you this morning to put that aside for a moment? Put that aside for a moment and let's focus on the fact that we've got an empty tomb. And you might ask the question, why should I, with all the problems of life, focus on an empty tomb? I want to share with you just four things this morning. Why every person in the world ought to consider the empty tomb this morning. Number one, look at verse number 5 of Matthew 28. It says, and the angel answered and said unto the women. Now let's pause there for a minute. What women? Well, there was two women by the name of Mary that is spoken of in the book of Matthew. Mary Magdalene. Mark says in the Gospel of Mark that it was Mary Magdalene of whom Jesus cast out seven devils. Do you think that she had much to be perplexed about in life? Do you think that she had trouble in her life? She did until she met the Savior. And then all the trouble washed away, it passed away. Why should we consider the empty tomb this morning? We should consider it because it is a place of peace. The angel said to the women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. There was actually a number of women that were there at the tomb. This gospel just records these two. It was a place of peace. He said, fear not. There is no need to fear the past with all of its sin, with all of its failure. Oh, we all have that, don't we? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the Old Testament, it says, there is not a just man that walketh upon the face of the earth, doeth good, and sinneth not. You know what that tells me? It tells me this. We're all in the same boat. And that boat is sinking. And the storms of life are beating in upon all of us. And that's why we so desperately need a Savior. It was a place of peace. No need to fear the present. Victory has come today, and there's no need to fear the future because God is in control. It doesn't make any difference what Kim Jong-un says or does. I think the best advice for him, he needs to sit down with Donald Trump and have a hamburger. Amen? That's what Donald Trump suggested. I think we need to get together and just sit down and have a hamburger. He dismissed that. No better way to solve a problem than sit down with a cheeseburger and a Coke. That'll go ahead and solve all the problems of the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. I thought I'd get an amen out of that. But you know, when you stop and think about it, the empty tomb was a place of peace. Mary Magdalene, the one that the seven devils was cast out of, went to the empty tomb. And the angel said, fear not. She didn't have to worry about her past. She didn't have to worry about all the sins that she had to deal with in the past because they're all washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. No need to worry about today. No need to worry about the future. The angel from heaven said, fear not. You know, fear controls people. The Bible says, perfect love casteth out fear. And when we have a perfect love for the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, we do not have to worry or fret about a thing because God is in control. If you will consider the empty tomb and you will apply the truth of the fact of the matter that Jesus Christ is not there, the Savior is risen from the dead, and if you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today, listen, you'll never have to fear again. Let me give you a second reason. Come see the place where the Lord lay, he said. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen as he said. Notice that next word, it says come. One of the other gospels uses the word behold. You know, the word behold is a very interesting word. The word behold just doesn't mean, I want you to look at something. It's a word that means look and gaze intensely upon it. It's kind of like when a young man goes up to his girlfriend and he pops the question and all of a sudden he opens up the ring and she goes, wow, look at that diamond. And she's looking at that. She is beholding that. It means to stare intensely upon. You know, I've watched some of you gals as, you know, a public announcement of an engagement took place and the ring was popped open and all of it. I watched as my son-in-law, Jeff, did that to Jessica and she cried out, no! You know, it was right in front of church and everything, you know. And he says, no. Oh, no, no, yes, she said, you know. And boy, she stared at that ring. That's what it means to behold. It means to stare intensely upon. He said, come. See the place where the Lord lay. The other gospel said, behold the place where he lay. You know, if we will stare intensely upon the fact of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and we will make that the focal point of our life, instead of focusing on our troubles, instead of focusing on all of our despairs of life, if we will focus on the fact that we serve a risen Savior, and He's in the world today, listen, our problems wouldn't seem so big. Amen? Number two, I think that we ought to not only come to the empty tomb because it was a place of peace, but we ought to come to the empty tomb because it was a place of a heavenly invitation. He says, come. He said, behold. The Bible records a lot of great invitations from God to man. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said to the multitudes, He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Are you bearing a heavy burden today? Yeah. Going through a trial in your life today? Then cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, as He said in Matthew 11:28. And the Lord, as He invites us to come to Him, He will give us rest. What are you wrestling with? What are you struggling with? Come and lay it down at the feet of Jesus Christ, and He will give you rest. That's an invitation that the Lord gives us. In Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 17, there's another invitation that is given. Jesus is telling the story about the parable of the great feast, and He says, come, for all things are now ready. All the things that God has provided for us that will meet our needs. Listen, He is inviting us to come to Him. The most difficult times in my life are the times when I thought that I had to handle it. And I trusted in my thoughts and my strength instead of God's. I see some of you out there nodding your head because you all are right there with me, right? He says, come, for all things are now ready. Great invitations in the Bible. Probably the greatest invitation found in Revelation 22 and verse number 17. It's the final invitation given in the Bible. And it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. What a great invitation. That means that the invitation is open to everyone. Whether you're white or black or Spanish or whatever color or whatever race, whatever background, whatever education that you might have, the invitation is open to you. And the Lord says, I want you to come. I want you to receive the water of life freely. Amen. I want you to notice the extent of the invitation. You know, in the Bible, Jesus invited all kinds of people to come to Him. In John chapter number 3, when we read John 3:16, a lot of times we want to isolate that verse all by itself. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Great verse all by itself. John Wesley said it was the gospel in the nutshell. And you know what? You could just take that verse all by itself and you can preach the gospel there. But many times we forget who Jesus was talking to. He was talking to a good man. He was talking to a religious man. He was talking to a man that knew the Word of God. He was talking to a man that was also lost. His name was Nicodemus. And He told Nicodemus that he needed to be born again. Listen, my friend, you can know about God here. But if you don't know Him here, that 18 inches that separates your head from your heart will send you to hell. The extent of the invitation, John 3:16, it was for a religious man, but he was lost. We find that in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's for anybody. We find in Mark chapter number 16, verse number 2, it was for Mary Magdalene, a woman with all of her sordid past, that God said, "If you will come to me, I'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish." The depth of the invitation, the extent is to, for all, whosoever. The depth of the invitation. The psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse number 2, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 7 verse number 25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession from them." I like what evangelist Don Hardman said, "God can save them from the uttermost to the guttermost." The extent of God's invitation is from the good, moral, religious, but lost man, to one that exhibits the deepest of depravity that man can show. I remember reading a story about Manuel Noriega. Manuel Noriega was the dictator there in Nicaragua, I think it was. Panama. He actually, before he was there in Panama, he was worked for our government. I believe he worked for the CIA or the FBI, one of the two. I can't remember which one. But then he went rogue and took over the country down there. And through a series of events, we caught him and captured him. And now, as far as I know, he is still in a Florida penitentiary. And he was responsible for a lot of people that died and drug smuggling and all kinds of stuff, just corruption. And they were glad to get him off the streets, and for the safety of the world, he was best off the streets. There was two preachers that got concerned about him, and they began praying for him. One, I think, lived in Texas. The other one lived in Arizona. And if I recall the story correctly, they began praying for Manuel Noriega. And for months and months and months, they prayed for Manuel Noriega to come to know Christ as his Savior. And then they found out where he was at. They visited the penitentiary. And they opened up the Word of God. And they shared with Manuel Noriega how he could trust Jesus Christ as his Savior and all of his sins could be forgiven. And there in that penitentiary cell, he bowed his head and trusted Christ. You say, "Well, how could God do that after all that he did?" My question is, how could he save me or you? After all that we did. And after all that we had wronged God. You know, people rejoiced when they caught Osama bin Laden and they ended up catching Saddam Hussein and then Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi both ended up having to hold trial. And people were rejoicing because they were executed, and I thought to myself, no. These men had souls. They're going to spend eternity someplace. And I remember praying for those individuals by name and asking God to have mercy on their soul and come to Christ. If we think that we are better than they, we need to go take a good look at the cross, because there is none that doeth good, no, not one. The depth of the invitation, it's for the religious but lost. It's for those who exhibit total depravity in their lives. It includes all of us. And if you have never responded to the invitation call, come to Christ today. Turn from your sin and run to the cross while there's opportunity. The way this world is going, we don't know how much more time we have. Only thing I know this, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And the Lord is coming back, and He's coming back soon. I want you to notice the third thing about the empty tomb. Not only was it a place of peace, and it was a place of heavenly invitation where the angels said, come and behold, but it was a place of a miracle. It was a place of a miracle of life. You know, it's interesting. If you study the life of Jesus Christ, every time He came to a funeral, He broke the funeral up by raising someone back to life. Amen? We find that He was drawn to a young girl that they said, come and pray for this young girl, and 12 years old, and He went there and took her by the hand and said, maid, arise, and she come back to life. In Luke chapter number 7, there was a widow woman that lost her only son, and He was in the funeral procession, and Jesus stopped the funeral procession. Boy, wouldn't this be exciting, amen? He laid His hand on the side of the coffin and said, arise, and all of a sudden the man sat up. I think as he sat up, probably a lot of them just fell down and passed out, amen? He came back to life. He went to the graveside of his friend Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Lazarus' sister said, Lord, you don't know what you're asking. By now, at least he stinketh. And he said, you're going to see the glory of God. And he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. One commentator said, it's a good thing that Jesus used Lazarus' first name, otherwise everybody that had died would have come forth. Because that's the power that Jesus has. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And out come this guy, wound in his grave clothes. Could you imagine how he actually come out? They wrapped him up. I don't know if he came out jumping like this because his legs were all wrapped up, or if he waddled. I don't know. But here he come. Come out. They said, Jesus said, loose him, let him go. And they unwound him. And they said, Lazarus, you're alive. It was a place of a miracle of life. Every place that Jesus went, there was life. Well, there's a reason for that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth into darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. And when Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus had no say in the matter. He came back to life. It was a place of miracle. God is the author of life. In Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7, He formed man out of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. By the way, that's what distinguishes man from animal. I realize that our secular science books do not want to distinguish that, and they say, well, just all animals. But that is not true. Man is different because God created him in His image, and He breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I love my dog to death, but my dog is created different than me. Amen? You and I have a living soul that will live forever. We find in the Old Testament that Aaron had a rod. And God told Aaron to put his rod down. And the other tribe, people of the tribes of Israel, had to put their rods down. And He says, listen, the one that I'm going to speak by is the one whose rod is going to bud. And according to Hebrews chapter number 7 or 9 and verse number 4, it was Aaron's rod that budded. Life out of death. Lazarus, John 11, 25, life from that which was dead. The empty tomb declares the power of God. It declares that He has power to give life to that which is dead. I've got hope. Back in 2007, my dad departed from this world. Back in 2005, my mom went home to glory. In 1988, my grandma, who knew the Lord, went home to be with Jesus. I've got hope. I've got hope. Because Jesus Christ lives, those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are going to live forever. You see, the empty tomb is a place of the miracle of life. The Bible says that mankind is dead. Without Jesus Christ, you might be alive physically, but spiritually you are dead. Romans 5:12 says, whereas by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But thank God, Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath He quickened, made alive, who is dead in trespasses and sin. That's what happens when you get saved. You are born again. You are born from above. You are born into God's family. That which was dead, the Holy Spirit came in and quickened you and made you alive unto God upon your salvation. The empty tomb is a place of the miracle of life. Jesus Christ came to give life, and life more abundantly, John 10 and verse number 10. If you want eternal life, if you want abundant life, you need to come to the risen Savior. Come and really examine the empty tomb. He's not there. He's risen. And then number 4, I want you to notice this. It is a place of personal decision. When you come to the empty tomb, you're going to have to be confronted with a decision. How am I going to respond to it? In Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 9 and through verse number 11, it says, now when Jesus was risen the first day of the week, Verse number one, I believe it is. Let me turn there. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, what day was He risen? It was Sunday, the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast 7 devils, and went and she went and told them that had been with her as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that He was alive. Now Mary went, and with her excitement, she ran to Peter and the other apostles and said, Jesus is alive! He's alive. He has risen from the dead. Could you imagine the excitement that was in her life? And she went there and she was explaining what she had seen. But look what it says in the last part of verse number 11. It says, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, believe not. The apostles didn't believe. After that, He appeared to another 2 of them as they walked. This is recorded in Luke 24, verse 13 through verse number 15 on the road to Emmaus. as they walked and they went into the country. And when he told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. And after he appeared unto the 11 as he sat at meat and upbraided them with unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You see, there's a decision when we come to the empty tomb. What are we going to do with the empty tomb? Mary believed. Mary saw the empty tomb. She heard what the angel had to say. He is not risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay and go and tell. And she went and told. Mary believed. I have actually seen pictures. I have not been there, but I have seen pictures of the empty tomb. It's still there in Jerusalem. The tomb is still empty. Millions of people have gone there. Many of them have peered inside. They saw the place literally where Jesus laid. And you know what? He's still not there. He's gone. It is a place of personal decision. Mary believed. Others, they did not. And so is true today. There are those that will put their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross. They will realize that they are a sinner under the judgment of God, and by faith they will turn from their sin and turn to the Savior and ask the Lord to save them. And they come to the empty tomb and they say, yep, he's gone. And it makes an eternal difference in their life. They realize they serve a risen Savior. And there's others today, they refuse to believe. You know, Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, he had actually appeared to 1,400 different people. There are 7 secular books outside of the Bible that actually record the historical fact that Jesus Christ was seen after his crucifixion, after the resurrection. 7 books that was written. The evidence is there. Historically, it is there. Biblically, it is there. But what are we going to do with it? Are we going to believe it? Or are we going to reject it? The bottom line is the tomb is empty. And because the tomb is empty, death has been defeated. Salvation is complete. The invitation is to whosoever will. The question is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you accept him or will you reject him? Remember, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. As Christ invited you to come to him, I invite you this morning to come to him. Would you come to Jesus Christ and claim him as your Savior? Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let's all stand to our feet, please, as our musicians come to play through a verse of invitation. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come. This morning, maybe there's a burden on your heart for a lost loved one. I invite you to come. Maybe you're looking for a good church home. I invite you to come this morning. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Would you come to Christ? Maybe you're looking for a good church home. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Why don't you come? Listen, the tomb is empty. Victory is at our disposal. But it's all through Christ. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you'd just bless this invitation. We give it to thee. I pray, Lord, that you'd guide and direct. And Lord, I pray that you'd save that one today that is lost in their sin and, Lord, needs the Savior. Help them, Lord, to respond to the empty tomb. Help them, Lord, to respond to the gospel invitation. The whosoever will, Lord, I pray that you'd bless. I pray, Lord, that you'd work. Guide in our lives.
We'll give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as the piano and the organ plays through a verse of invitation, would you come this morning if the Lord has spoken to you? Would you come? Thank you.